So I got a phone call from Pastor, I'm thinking 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he starts with his chit-chatting type of a thing at the beginning of it. And then he always gives me the big roundhouse. And he did that to me again, like he's done many a times. And he just said, "Hey, Dan, what do you think about preaching?" And I didn't really answer at first. I was just thinking about it. And he said, "You know, I've seen the Lord grow you, and I think it would be good for you." And he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Well, my first impression is I'm not ready," I said. But I said, "The next thing is that I just want to bring it to the Lord and have time with Him." So I spent time with the Lord and prayed, and He just brought this word that I'm going to share with you today to my mind. So when I contacted Pastor, he told me to think on it a week, pray on it a week, and contacted him back. And he said, I told him, I says, "I'm willing to do it, that the Lord has laid something on my heart that I want to share with you guys." One thing I want to share with you, and I've shared with Pastor, is I definitely do not think of myself as someone worthy to preach. And I think you guys would all think that way if you were asked the same thing. I am better a teacher than a preacher in my mind. And by that I mean I've done a lot of small groups, a lot of Bible studies. So today you guys are just a big class. But what I want to share with today is something that Pastor Brad brought up to me. And he said, "Dan, you should share about some of the trials maybe that you're going through." And you can all tell I have a back brace on. Those that don't know, I had surgery, major surgery, 7 weeks ago. Had two vertebrae, basically, might as well say, fused and one replaced. And I can tell you that I'm almost pain-free. So praise the Lord. Thank you for all your prayers. But within all the different trials that I want to talk about, I want to talk about trials, and I want to talk about worry today. Because I've been through it, and I know that out there today, there's a lot of problems with anxiety and worry and different things. And I want to share with you something that I've learned that really caused me to hit the ball out of the park, if you want to say, with trying to win victory over worry. And the passage that we're going to look at this morning is, if you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 25 through 34 today. This is a familiar passage probably for most people. This is a Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was teaching. And this certain section talks about worry. It's one that I had gone through many times before and read. But there is something that I seen with a video that changed my whole thought on this. And I'm going to share that with you today. But in my trials that I have, I want to just explain some of them and sort of let you guys know that I'm no different than you, okay, in what's going on. One of the biggest trials I had was in 1994. Some of the older or age my age will know about this, but I was involved in a serious car crash. I was in intensive care for 3 or 4 days. A guy pulled out in front of me. I hit him. I had a smaller car. I hit him in the front axle of a full-size. He had a full-size Dodge truck. And it stopped my car basically on a dime. I hit him so hard that it drove the engine into the firewall, drove the firewall in all the way up to the brake pedal where you could not touch and push the brake pedal down anymore. That's how hard I hit that guy. Because the way I hit him in his front axle pinned his vehicle to the ground and basically from 55 to zero instantly. Then he took the rest of the concussion and spun around in circles. When that happened, I believe I had my seatbelt. I still don't remember much about the accident. When it happened, my body turned because of he was trying to cross an intersection. So when he hit me, it stopped me dead and took me with him to the left. So it threw me to the right. I drove this part of my head through the windshield to where on the outside of it had an egg. My ribs went into the steering column, drove the steering column underneath the dash. Both hands that were on it, of course, I was a heavy bodybuilder then, but both hands that were on it, I took the steering wheel and I curled them right down. They were almost touching the steering column before my hands released and went through the dash and many other things. But why I'm telling you this is what I've learned from that, from the Lord. With all that, it never struck me until I remember after I had healed from all this, one of the doctors that specialized in the ribs that I had done, he put an x-ray up about a month after it, and it was the old kind where you slapped it into the thing where it's a hard card, and he says, I want you to look at something. And I'm thinking, wow, this is different for a doctor. And I really didn't know the guy. It wasn't like I had a personal relationship with him like I do with Mark. But he slapped it in there, and he said, you see your ribs, and the side of my ribs were just little pieces except for one down low. And that one had split from just behind my back all the way through and to about here and come out about an 8-inch slit. And he says, you're lucky to be alive. He says, if you weren't a bodybuilder, we wouldn't be talking. Because my muscle held it from going through my lungs and my intestines and spearing me. And I'll never forget that because of what I've seen God do through that because of that. Now, I share that with you because it's trials. I've had many more. I've had shoulder surgery, knee surgery. This is a second back surgery. But through them all, I've always placed my trust in the Lord's in care of this and will take care of it. And I want to show where I got that today with you. So let's read verses 25 through 34. It says, for this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on it. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? So what it's telling us here in this first verse is it says, for this reason, do not worry. Okay, we're right now commanded by God, Jesus, don't worry. Okay, and he's saying, for what? For your life. Okay, we got to stop there, the life. For your life, okay? And then it goes and builds on for food and clothing. What it's talking about is physical things. We can't be worried about physical things in our lives, okay? That's the first thing that God's saying here. Then he goes on in verse 26, and he says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he throws this in. Are you worth much more than they? What a question mark. So how many of you have seen birds dying everywhere? I haven't. You see them here and there, right? Because of disease, sickness, maybe some different things going on. But they're out there, they're living. All the animals that you think, oh, yes, they die. And again, they could have disease and different things. But they're all living, and they're all living because of our Father, right? He's taking care of them, all right? So he's saying, are you worth much more than they? Then in 27, I love the way Jesus speaks. He says, and which of you, by being anxious, or let's say worry, can add a single cubit to his life? So what it's saying is, it's saying that which does any of us, by worrying, do we gain? We gain any lifespan? Do we gain, because a cubit is 18 inches, okay? So it's saying, how many of us by worrying gain life, okay? Which, in my mind, I went, well, let's think about that a little more. What does it really do? So I'm not a computer guy, believe me, but my phone is a smartphone, and I love Google on there where you just push it and you ask the dumb phone a question. So I asked the dumb phone a question. They call it smartphones. I call them dumb phones because I'm the dummy using them. But take a dumb phone, and I asked it about anxiety. And WebMD came up. And here, I want to read to you what it said, what worrying can cause. This is how did they word it? It wasn't excessive worry, but it was like more like a continual worry. This is what it promotes. Difficulty swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth, fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, short of breath, sweating, trembling, and twitching. Then there's some serious physical consequences. So if you go to the end and you're a really chronic worrier, there's this. There's suppression of the immune system, digestive disorders, short-term memory loss, premature coronary artery disease, and heart attacks. So what Jesus is saying here is that worry isn't good for us. It isn't good at all for any of us, okay? So we need to trust him and put our faith in him. Then the next three verses, again, just add to it. It says, "And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrayed," that means to put into order, "the grasses of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in a furnace, will he not much more do so for you?" And then he adds, "O men of little faith." So again, it's just adding on to what he just said about the birds. He takes care of the grasses that we see as our seasons, right? They come and go. It dies, comes back. He takes care of all the things on this earth. Why is he not going to take care of us? And then in verse 31, it says, "Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek." And here was what I want to touch on today, some more. "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." What I learned just probably in the last 6 years really, and I'm going to share it with you today, really impacts our heavenly Father. Because I don't think most of us have a grip on who really God is. And I want to share some things with you right now that I've learned. And you guys can learn it as well. There's our library back there that's free to use for anyone. And in there we have a video series by a man named Louis Giglio. He's a pastor for Passion City Church. And he is a guy that's probably a little bit like me that likes to know about things that are maybe a little more different than other people do. And one of the two of the series he did, and they're back then, I'll tell you the name of the videos. It's incredible. It's Indescribable is the name of one. The other one's called How Great Is Our God. In them two videos, he brings out a lot of things about the size of our universe. And in Psalms, I want to touch on this a little bit. In Psalms 19, 1 and 2, it says, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God. The skies are declaring the work of his hands." We see everything around here on this earth, but we don't understand what's above us. And when we look at this world, we have a tendency to downsize God. I want to share with you some facts that Louis shared in his video. So the next maybe 5-10 minutes that I share with you, it's going to be stuff from his video. And it changed my thinking on our Heavenly Father. In his video, he says that what he's going to share with you is only the known universe. In other words, it's as far as we can see with the Hubble telescope. We're all paying for that Hubble telescope still. But they shipped it up there, I don't remember how many years ago. And that Hubble telescope is looking out long, long ways, okay? And they're taking images and learning, and the scientists are always learning. And what Louis does is he goes on that site And he gets the stuff that's out there that all of us can get. And then he tells people about it, and he uses it to glorify God. And I want to show you some of the neat things that are in there. We all know that in Genesis it says that what? That God created this world, right? And he said, he spoke, let there be light, didn't he? Well, when he spoke, let there be light, light travels at 186,000 miles a second. Okay? So when he said, let there be light, shot out of his mouth, light at 186,000 miles a second, and everything that gives off light was made in that quick. And what I want to share with you today is everything that gives off light today. And Louis told me about it through the video, and I want to share it with you guys. One of the things that we got to know, because when I share it with you, you got to get an idea. There is no ruler for what God made, okay? The scientists have made up a ruler called a light year. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. Well, you're probably wondering what a light year is. I was, because I didn't have a clue. So light travels at 186,000 miles a second. If you take in times that by a minute, and then a minute to the hour, and so on, so it works out to a year, that would give you how many miles it would travel in a year. Well, I'm going to do the math for you, because I challenge you guys to do the math on that. But it's 5.88 trillion miles light travels in 1 year. 5.88 trillion miles is in one light year. Okay, so keep that in mind. I'll keep reminding you. So let's take a look at what the known universe is. The first one is the Milky Way galaxy. I hope you guys know that's what we live in, right? We live in the Milky Way galaxy, okay? We're in one of the outer bands of it. Thank the Lord we are, because it's deadly on the inner band, is what Louis says. And our galaxy, now grab this, just our galaxy is 100,000 light years across. Okay? So take 100,000, I dare you, with your calculator, times 5.88 trillion, and see how big just our galaxy is. Okay? Now, Louis does a good job of trying to bring that into our perspective, because we look at numbers, and numbers don't mean a whole lot to us, right? So Louis takes a quarter, and he says to us, he says, if we were to compare the solar system with the size of our Milky Way, he said, if Earth was a quarter, okay, so I brought it here so you guys can really think of it. If Earth was a quarter, our solar system would be the size of the North American continent. That's how big the Milky Way galaxy is. That's the first thing I want to share with you guys. I'm going to blow your minds today on how big God is, okay? Because he blew mine, Louis, when he told me. The next galaxy that's out there, oh, by the way, the next thing that's in our solar system is the sun, okay? The sun is 93 million miles away. And again, thank the Lord it is, because if it was a mile closer, we'd fry. So it's 93 million miles away. It's a raging ball of fire. On the surface, it's 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It takes 8 minutes for the light of the sun to hit Earth, traveling at 186,000 miles a second. Scientists say, now listen to this, scientists say, it would take the gross national product of the United States, so the gross national product of all the United States, 7 million years to run the sun for 1 second. That's how much energy it's putting off in 1 second. Remember, God spoke it, and it happened. Okay? I'm going to take you out a little far. I'm going to pop you outside of our galaxy. I'm going to take you to the Sombrero Galaxy. The Sombrero Galaxy is 28 million light years away from us. Okay? Don't ask me how they come up with these facts, but evidently it's scientific. So 28 million miles away is the Sombrero Galaxy. In the videos, they take a shot of each one of them out of the Hubble telescope, so you can, if you want to see what they look like, just get the video. It's 50,000 light years across. That was 50,000 light years across. So 50,000 times 5.88 trillion will give you the width. And it's trillion of miles thick, not light years, trillion miles thick. That's the size of the Sombrero Galaxy. The next one out is outside of that is the Whirlpool Galaxy. That one is the farthest one the Hubble telescope has seen. People, it's 31 million light years away from us. I dare you to find a calculator that will calculate that. 5.88 trillion times 31 million light years away. Our God is huge. Okay? This galaxy makes up to 300 to 500 billion stars are in within that galaxy. In Isaiah 40:26, it says, He, God, calls them all by name. So that was just the Whirlpool Galaxy. We got to remember to add all the other galaxies I told you about and all the other ones that we haven't named. God calls every star by name. Okay? If we were to travel from Earth, just to give you an idea how far that is, if we were to travel from Earth and to travel from here at 186,000 miles a second, it would take us 31 million years to get there. That's how far away it is. Okay? All these things, the reason why I brought this up, they all scream the power of the Lord. And I want to just share a few more things with you just within our own galaxy. So within our own galaxy, there's four stars I'm going to touch about. Again, these are stars. Anything that gives off a light is called a star, I guess, by scientists. Okay? So our closest star would be, big star would be the big hot thing that we talked about, sun. The sun, okay, that's the closest one. And as I said, it's 93 million miles away. One of the things that Louis uses is a golf ball, and I brought one tonight, because you're going to need it to understand these next four things I'm going to tell you about. And remember, these are stars, people. These are stars that are out there. So the star is considered a sun because it puts off light. And he puts in there, if Earth was a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. So I think the top of that's about 15 feet. So this is, if it's turning around, we orbit around the sun. This would be orbiting around the sun. That all the way to the floor would be the size of the sun compared to the Earth, or to the sun. And you could fit 960,000 Earths inside of the sun, to give it a better idea. That's how big the sun is compared to us. Now, I'm just going to continue to hold this so you guys can understand that this is us. This is Earth. Okay? If we can fit 960,000 Earths inside of it, that's enough golf balls to fill a school bus full of golf balls, to give you an idea of what the difference would be. And Louis uses that throughout his session, and it's really powerful for me, anyways, to understand the Lord. The next one that's out there is a star called Betelgeuse. This is 427 light years away. So again, it's within, I guess you could say, within our own galaxy. It is within our own galaxy. It's twice the size of the Earth's entire orbit around the sun. To give you an idea, if Earth was a golf ball, so if I hold this up, the golf ball, Betelgeuse would be the height of 6 Empire State Buildings stacked on top of each other. So if you can imagine 6 Empire State Buildings sitting out in front of us, and we're on this golf ball, that's the size of the star that's out there called Betelgeuse. There's 262 trillion Earths can fit inside of Betelgeuse, that star. Okay? That's enough golf balls, if we were a golf ball. That's enough golf balls to fill the Superdome 3,000 times. That's how big Betelgeuse is. The next one that's out there is one called Macephis. Again, remember, this is within our own galaxy. It's 3,000 light years away. If the Earth was a golf ball, Macephis would be the width of two Golden Gate bridges end to end. So if I had my golf ball and we put two Golden Gate bridges across here and we held up our golf ball, that's the size of Macephis. You could fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside of Macephis. Now, one of the things Louis does is he does a good job of saying, well, how do I understand that? Well, he says, I can't understand a quadrillion, and I'm with him. Yeah, Louis, I don't get it either. Okay? He did it this way. He said, a million seconds is 12 days. Okay? Wrap your head around that a little bit. A billion seconds. 1984. A trillion seconds would be 29,700 BC, which we know don't exist. Quadrillion seconds? 3,800,000 years ago. That's how big a quadrillion is. And you could fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside of that star. And here's the big one. Here's the one that wrecked my mind. Canis Majoris, they call it. People, if the Earth was a golf ball, Canis Majoris is the height of Mount Everest. Mount Everest is just under 6,000 feet high. That's the size of Canis Majoris, and we're sitting on this golf ball. You could fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside a Canis Majoris. And this will wreck your mind like it did mine. That would be enough Earths or golf balls to cover the entire state of Texas, 22 inches thick. I brought all this up to you today because I want you guys to understand that God is huge. Okay? We have a tendency to downsize him, but he is huge. Again, this stuff is the only things that we know off of the Hubble telescope. Scientists will say there's way more out there, okay, that scream the glory of God, and they haven't seen it yet, okay? But I want you to remember a couple of verses. Psalms 33, 6 through 9 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And then it finishes, for he spoke it, and it was done. And he commanded it, and it stood fast. Remember, God just spoke and this all came into being that I just told you about. Colossians 1:7 says, he, God, is before all things, and by him all things are held together. He holds all that stuff. He not only spoke it, but everything stays put. Scientists, I guess, from what I understand, it blows their mind why things just stay there. He holds it. It tells us in Colossians 1:17. And in Isaiah 40:12a, it says, who has measured the water in the hollow of his hands and marked off the heavens by the span? What that means is God palms the universe. He palms everything he made. It all sits within the span of his hand. That's how huge God is. Okay? I want to finish with this. Sin shrinks God down in our minds and puffs up. puffs us up in our own estimation. But purposefully paying attention to God's immeasurable greatness resizes everything in a heartbeat. We don't worship a tiny God. We are the tiny ones. And Psalms 33 says, just as God breathed out stars and knows every corner of the universe by name, God knows your name and keeps his eyes on those who fear him. I want a quick turn with me to Isaiah 40, and I want to read one thing to you guys before we close. Isaiah 40, 25 through 31. Says, to whom then will you liken me? Again, we're talking about God. That I should be his equal. He's saying, who is my equal, right? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their hosts by name. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. And then he throws in about a doubt. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. We will never understand God. And that's why sometimes we say, I don't know. I can't explain it. You know, when someone passes away, a loved one, we can't explain it because we don't have a mind like God. He gives us strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not be weary. So let's turn back to Matthew 6. So God tells us now what we should do, right? He tells us in the last part of this verse, he tells us that he gives us this in verse 33. It says, what are we supposed to do then? Instead of worry. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, the things I shared with you about God today, when worry attacks you, this is what I do. I think about my God. I think about how great he is. I think about how immense he is. I think about that he knows better than I do what's going on, what trial with my back, and the risk that came with that surgery was immeasurable. But you know what? I went in there really with no fear because I knew that if I died, I was graduating to heaven. I was going to be sad that my family wouldn't be able to see me, but I was going to be with my Savior. And last it says, this is our command. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What it's saying is, all we need to have is daily faith. Each day, just remember our God and our Savior. When them trials come, when that worry hits you, redirect focus. Know that that is Satan. That is not God. When you start worrying, you take your trust off of God and what he can do, and you say, you know what? I can do a better job. Okay? But think about how large he is and think how dumb that thinking is. Okay? Doesn't mean that I have worry behind me. I'm going to tell you this morning, I still have problems with worry. And I think every one of us will have it until we see the Lord face to face. But I can tell you this, when it does happen in my life, I do one thing. I run to the Lord. I start focusing on Him. I start reading His Word. I start praying. And one of the other things is that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the words that I talked about today really have no benefit for you guys. Because in that reading it says, those who fear the Lord. Fear the Lord means a reverence. It means that He's your Master. He's your Lord. Okay, so if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have this promise. And I would reach out to you guys and say that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you would take and just ask Him to come into your heart and that He would be your Lord and Savior. Remember, to know Him as you've read about Him does not save you. It's only when you believe in your heart, truly believe, that God, Jesus, died on a cross for you and bore your sin, are you saved. There's a lot of people that know about Christ, but there's a lot of people when the rapture comes that are going to wonder how come they didn't make it, because they just knew about Him and they didn't believe that He was the only way to be forgiven of our sins. So if you don't know for sure, please, I'd love to talk to you. I know different elders would, different people in the church, but please talk to me. But it's as simple as running to the Lord. In Romans 10:9-10, it says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. That's as simple it is. But we got to believe in our heart, okay? We can't just say, yeah, I know about Christ. That promise isn't for you. So let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we just thank You for this time that we can look in Your Word, Lord. We thank You for Louis and his videos, and from what I've learned from it. I pray that it would just inspire the people today, that they would learn of You as well, that You are a huge God, and that we do not even understand how big You are, that You are huge, and help us not to shrink You down to our size.